In the book of 2 Peter, there in chapter 1, Daryl read just a moment ago this passage. And Peter believed it was important to, at times, pause and to remember. Reading again those two verses, beginning there in verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." So Peter is saying, as long as I'm around, I'm going to keep on reminding you and reminding you and reminding you of these things. Even though you already know them, it's right for me to remind you again of these things. I was amazed as I looked through some of the online concordances and looked at this word remember. It'll surprise you if you look it up to see how often that word is used throughout Scripture. You just think of some of the familiar verses that have this enjoinder given to the followers of God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Inscribed on these tables, do this in remembrance of me. You know, one of the primary purposes of preaching and of teaching is to simply remind the church of what they already know. Very seldom do we have a lesson or a class where there is all brand new material, things we've never heard before. No, we've heard them before, but we need to be reminded of these things. Peter said, "I think it's right to refresh your memory." So, this evening, I want us to go back to an Old Testament book that enjoins remembrance upon the children of Israel at a very special time in their history. So if you'll flip back over to the other end of your Bible, to the book of Joshua, and there in the book of Joshua, if you'll turn to chapter 3. Moses has now passed the baton to Joshua. They've come through the 40 years of wilderness wandering, and they're on the opposite side of the Jordan River from Jericho, and they're ready now to cross over into the Promised Land. And there in verse 5, Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." And Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from each of the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." It was as if an invisible hand was placed there in that Jordan River, and the water flowing downstream began to build up in one huge wall, and the water on the other side drained away. So when the people broke camp, it says in verse 14, to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan, and their feet touched the water's edge. The water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. There the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." It was important for them to remember, and it was important for them to tell their children that story, and for them to tell their children that story. And such was the case with many of the great actions of God among His people. You know, as nations go, we in the United States are still a relatively young nation. There are many places in this world where things are much, much older than anything we experience. And so we're typically a nation that looks forward rather than one that tends to look back. And we forget sometimes the importance of looking back, looking in our rear view mirror. But as people of God, we have a lengthy history going all the way back to the beginning of time, and we have it recorded for us in these books like Joshua that we've just read from. You know, a people that has no history are a people who have no future. Last Thursday night, very few of you were there, but at midnight, the clock struck 12, and some of these young folks were there to celebrate the beginning of a brand new year. This year that stretched out before us like untracked snow, the year 2016, with all of its possibilities. And as we now move into the flow, here we are on the first Sunday of 2016, and we've spent this day honoring our God, remembering events that happened 2,000 years ago. And it's appropriate now for us, I think, to pause for a moment and just look in the rearview mirror at the year that has gone before. And I just want to ask you to do something that's a little bit different than what we normally do and the way I do a sermon. I want us to simply look back over this year to see what God has done, to see His hand in the middle of this family that we call Sunset. During this past year, we saw 25 new souls added to the kingdom. Eric Johnson, Mona Berglund, Nick Calloway, Bonnie Gentry, Brooke Chaffin, Isaac and Joanna Pruitt, Brett Kell, Betty Young, Matthew Penner, Barton Smith, Jim Swan, Trayson Lawler, Jeannie Carter Abercrombie, Kenny Williams, Carmen Huffman, Jackson Cross, Victoria Tawning, Sarah Walters, Hannah Schultz, Maureen Davis, Doug Inman, and three of our members who were rebaptized during that year. All these new brothers and sisters, part of our church family here at Sunset. Now, we didn't see the waters part in this baptistry like they saw there at the Jordan River, but nonetheless, we saw the power of God transform a soul from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We witnessed God's redemptive power in creating an all-new creation in each of these instances. We rejoiced also in this past year here at Sunset as four new babies were born into our church family. T.J. Allen was born first in the year. Then Aiden Livingston came along. And then Savannah Simmons. And then Willow Diedrichs. And so we've got these new families who were rejoicing with the arrival of these young folks. We had five weddings that took place within our church family. Wyman and Janelle Miller. Brian and Jessica Selvage. Rob and Jennifer Cook. Russell and Jeannie Abercrombie. And Jason and Cassidy Tonning. And we rejoiced with these individuals. But you know, as the Israelites crossed over, a whole generation had been buried during those 40 years there in the wilderness. And that's part of life in any group. And in this past year, we said goodbye to a number of our family and those we have come to love and appreciate so much over the years. There were 12 funerals. Jack Miller, Inez Claxton, Jean Blevins, Raymond Dole, Jean Lehar, former member Ricky Dean DeBinion, Reese Warden, Raul Gilbert, Dean Asher, Ruby Thomas, Ray Pittman, and Leona Fletcher. Those who have gone on before. I haven't added it up lately, but we have in the life of this congregation, a congregation on the other side of the Jordan, now awaiting our arrival, a congregation that equals in size, if not larger, than our existing congregation of those who are still in this life here at Sunset. And during the year 2015, we got to know and be blessed by over 50 new folks coming in to be part of our church family. You know, we have ways to celebrate, and it's good. We've got a board at the back celebrating those who have been married 50 years or longer. We have a lot of things that we do throughout the year to bring back these kinds of memories. And with Israel having set up those 12 stones, they marched forward to Jericho, where the first of the amazing things that Joshua promised them were witnessed by those people as God delivered into their hands this mighty city. And as we began the year 2016, we have an exciting future before us as a church family. This past year, we saw the addition of two new elders. Tomorrow, that house that we recently acquired is going to be torn down. When you get here on Wednesday, it's not going to be there anymore. We hope to one day acquire some more of those, and that can be parking that will give us all kinds of opportunities here with our building. We have seen exciting things that you're going to learn about next Sunday happen in our missions area. We have seen wonderful things happen with our youth group and with our college age group and just so much. In our elders meeting today, one of the elders paused to commend before the other elders, Chris and Sean, and the good work that they are doing with our young people in this congregation. You know, through all of this, we desperately, as God's people, need to seek the guidance of the Lord as a congregation. If ever we needed to do that, the time is now to do that. And as we move forward into this new year, I just want to encourage you to pause and to remember, it is the Lord who has brought us to this point. And as we look back over the reasons to celebrate, it is the Lord who has created the growth, and the Lord who has sustained us, and the Lord who has brought us through all the situations that this congregation has been through. And I hope as we pause too, we'll give credit, number one, to the Lord, but we'll remember the sacrifices of those who've gone before us, and those who took risks, and those who have been generous in their contributions, and those who have served in many ways so that we today can stand upon their shoulders. And I hope that we can seize the future. But let's not forget to raise stones of remembrance along the way. Now there's something exciting about moving into a new year with all of its challenges before us. And there's a lot that's unknown. And it can be a little bit scary. But that's okay, because the Lord is leading us, and we're doing it together as a group of believers under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I think all of us like to do scary things, don't we? A little bit of an adventure. I learned to swim, not by myself, with my brother, and that made it okay. I went to college, but my best friend was my roommate. That made it okay. And we have a bright future before us in this church. And I'm grateful that I've got you to share that future with. But you know, one day, each one of us must stand alone before God. It's been wonderful to be part of a church family and to bask in the glow of the accomplishments that have been made by this congregation through the years. But let me tell you, in the choir of life, it's easy to fake the words. But someday, each of us must sing solo before the Lord. And so I just hope that as we as a congregation, next Sunday you're going to hear the plans unfold before you as our elders stand before us. And we're going to be excited and we're going to be challenged. But I hope that we individually make a commitment before God as to what we plan to contribute towards the great things that stand before us in the year 2016. I am very grateful for this congregation and for the encouragement that it's been to me and to my family through the years. And I want to close this lesson in prayer, asking the Lord's guidance as we embark on this fresh year before us. Will you pray with me? Father, we come before you and we acknowledge that you are the one who has brought us to this point. And Father, we remember ways in which you have graciously rescued us in our lives, and the ways that you have brought us forward in situations that at times seemed almost impossible. And so, Father, we give you the glory and the honor and the credit for everything good that's happened in the life of this church. And Father, we pray that we will continue to depend entirely upon you as we embark on this next year. Father, please give our elders hearts wholly devoted to you. Give them vision for the future and for what we can be. Help them to challenge us and encourage us. And Father, help us as good followers to follow their lead. Father, we're grateful for this family of believers and for the tremendous love that exists here and for the encouragement that we have found in one another. Father, we're grateful that we can rejoice with those that rejoice and that we can also weep with those who weep. Father, bless us all as we step into the untracked snow of 2016. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.